Welcome, everybody, to the Urban Suplex Podcast. I'm your host, Gerard Kaihui.
My name is Zach Kinsella, here from space.
And today, what's the date today
again? It's the 4th. You just asked me the time.
I know. I'm so bad at dates. June 4th. It is the day after the day, after the weekend of Comic-Con.
Yes, the Denver Comic-Con.
Yes, so Zach Kinsella and I have just come back from Denver Comic-Con, where Zach exhibited in the booth A20, and I was in J9. So we were literally on opposite ends of the giant auditorium that housed the exhibitors hall at Comic-Con. But we got to run the mile and a half
was across. It made it convenient to do a podcast at the show. That's
yeah.
Why we didn't.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, good point. And plus the fact that there was no electricity, so it's crazy. But let's get the show started. So this one will definitely be devoted to after Comic Con. So how did Comic Con work out for you, buddy?
We did pretty well. We didn't like smash any like sales records. We did better than we did last year.
Good, good.
We just did well with sales. I met some really fantastic people. Got to connect with some people that I met there last year and at some other conventions. And yeah, we just had a good old time.
Nice. And so, yeah, first day for us, I shared a table with Scott Springer. He is the creator, author, illustrator of Angry Fairy. You can check out his work on angryfairy.com.
He smells.
No, he's given a lot of crap. So Scott and I, we met years ago at the first Comic Fest. We actually knew each
is
other.
That when you met him?
Well, that's when I met him personally. I actually knew him from DeviantArt. We got connected through DeviantArt, and I found out that he was a local artist.
Huh.
And so we're talking back and forth. And so when we got closer to Comic Fest, I was at the first Comic Fest, I believe, and then he came on the second Comic Fest. So in the second Comic Fest, I had already had my own table, and I hooked him up with Mr. V, who does Arborsides. So check out arborsides.com.
If you want to be horrified.
Not for children. Not for kids. Great. I love Mr. V's
stuff,
work,
yeah.
But definitely not.
He was
not
actually
for kids.
Featured in Westward recently.
Nice.
For the 2013 first annual comic book issue of Westward.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. His book Arborsides is good.
Helen life hasn't calmed him down. Like every other person, like even Brian Posehn,
yeah,
has been like, yeah, being married and have a kid. Now I'm not so angry. Not Matt. He's ready to still burn the world down if he had the chance.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I got married. I'm still mad. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, Helen Doesn't Live Here is a great book. It's autobiographical and definitely one of my favorite books out there. But Mr. V and Scott Springer, that's kind of, again, got those guys connected and to share a table at Comic Fest. But
was that the 2010 Comic Fest they shared a table? I don't remember.
Wasn't 2010?
Yeah, it was.
Was it 2010?
Yeah,
it was 2009.
That's when I first met Scott because I was like, when did this annoying energy come into my life? like Galactus heading towards you.
I really have a problem, but it's funny. Yeah,
I
you guys,
Scott.
We
I
get to
give him shit.
No, it's great. That's I mean, him and I met his buddy Rio.
Yeah,
so
good,
getting to the con though, I left at noon. We coordinated to meet, and I didn't think it was going to be such a big deal. But as soon as we got to the convention center, there was this horde of people,
yeah,
just mobbing the place, waiting to get in. And I was like,
"It was like
holy
San Diego."
Shit. And
except
you know,
have to stand in the line.
Yeah, thank God we didn't have to stand in line. So I'm like panicking, calling Scott, like, "Oh, where are you at? We're gonna meet," because I didn't want to wait in this freaking line just to get my badge. So luckily enough, Scott went in earlier. I paid $26 for all day parking at the Hyatt Regency. Jeez. Yeah,
Scott was the first person I saw when we came up because we parked at the pavilions, which is dire information just for all you Comic-Con goers. Park underneath the pavilions because you only pay $14.
Wow, good
but,
to know.
Yeah, so
but then you had to lug all your stuff though,
like a block.
That's not bad. Okay. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I tried to make it very simple for myself. I just had,
Guess I've learned from plenty of other cons.
Oh yeah, you
simple.
Know, get a roll cart and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's what we had. We just packed everything in a suitcase, rolled it over. I had my portfolio, and I don't have like a banner or any of that crap. But I think soon I'll be getting one. So
yeah, no, I got an easel, a portable easel. Love that thing.
Sure.
Just stuck a picture on there, but Yeah, no. The first day was okay. I sold a couple prints, and I mean, I don't have a book out right now. I just have a collection of illustrations that I've done, and then I usually sell illustrations at the con, and I do pretty good. But Friday, I got really worried because I wasn't selling jack. I probably sold a few, like a handful of prints, and because they were turning so much people away that didn't pre-register or just trying to get in.
Yeah,
you know, they extended the exhibitor hall for another hour, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Till 9 o'clock, and so Scott and I are just like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? And so that first night, I can't remember. Was that the first night that we went? Did we go out that first night?
Oh, you guys didn't go out that first night with us. Because we fart bombed in Denver. Yeah. I'm being literal here. We got bored, had way too many drinks, went to all the scummy loaded. I don't know if you guys have ever been to downtown.
Oh, Denver. That's right. I think I just went home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got tired. I just went home. Oh, no, that's right. I played shuttle bus. That's right. Okay, so we did the con. We met some artists. And then I drove Scott to his hotel. And then you were screaming obscenities in the car at somebody else.
You did call somebody a butthole.
Jeff.
Good guy. Jeff Herndon.
Jeff, oh, heard that, yeah, okay.
Good friend. Yeah. He's a butthole.
Yeah, what's his book?
I don't know. No, he's an illustrator, a painter, actually. So oh, okay. He does more of the book covers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I met him.
Yeah, his wife's a sweetheart, too.
Yeah. I think I stood in line behind her registering for next year's Comic-Con. But anyway,
she's a brave woman. She watched not only that table, but Chad's table while he was away.
Chad.
Blakely.
Every time you name drop, I think you need to explain who these people are.
He's a Wyoming artist.
Pick up that name you just dropped, please. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I as a woman, I wouldn't be brave enough to fend off hordes of dudes hanging around looking at me at a table. But
hordes of dudes. Okay.
Because, you know, they're always like, mouth breathing. And
I hear what you're saying. No, it was weird. During the first night, Scott has his friend Erica that comes out that dresses up as Angry Fairy.
Yes.
But she had ended up calling and saying that her mother had passed, so that was kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, hopefully everything's going well. It sucks when you lose a parent, but not to bring it on downer, but yeah, I definitely was hoping that everything goes well for her. You know, she seems like a pretty cool person, but. Yeah, I think I dropped you off after that, and then and then I ended up hanging out with my buddy Madi.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys were like, I'm going out with Madi, and they're like, I'm going home. Like, yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, I could not stay out late. I think I was up the night before, like, until 3 a.m., trying to make sure I had everything set, and then, yeah, it was crazy. I was so drained, so tired. So what did you guys end up doing?
So my writer, Nicholas, and a couple of our other friends, we decided just to go make a night of it, have a couple of beers. We went to a couple of downtown bars. None of it was really feeling like there was anything fun going on. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, sometimes downtown Denver sucks. So we decided to go fart bomb. We had these little stink bombs left over from a previous prank. And we decided to go to, if you've never been to the district of Denver called Lodo, which is down to the lower downtown.
Yeah.
It's Mos Eisley has cleaner bars than Lodo, and full of less awful people. Like even the wolf guy from the first Star Wars, I would hang out with him more than I would any dude from Lodo. But it's all like, you know, your Abercrombie crowd, you know, just the worst people in the world, you know. So we went through stink bombs in there, had some beers. I saw a woman, pleasuring a gentleman on the dance floor.
Oh, that's right. I remember. So what happened?
She was not a small woman. Let's just say.
Wait, so you guys were dancing, right? And all of a sudden...
Well, sort of. We went in there just
What club was... Oh, maybe we should say what club was.
The club was named Pats. P-A-T apostrophe S. It was named Pats. In Lodo.
Nice.
Lower Denver.
All right.
You had to go under... It was one of those underground bars. Like, yep. The air won't get out.
Oh, God.
So we went down in there like... This is horrible. We were like judges from Judge Dredd. We're on a mission to serve justice.
Jeez.
So we went in there and our friend Tiana was acting like one of the Lodo girls. She held her beer up way in the air and was giving a beer shower on the dance floor, just trying to be obnoxious as she could. And
a beer shower.
Yeah, this one girl who was grinding on a dude at the time, like, please lower your glass. I was like, you can't give advice when you're grinding on someone's junk. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't criticize. Yep. I'm saying. So this is what happens after conventions if you're a professional.
I guess.
You didn't see any furries hanging around downtown.
Oh, downtown.
Cosplayers.
We went from grinding to furries. All it's yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not that far of a leap. I don't think.
You're absolutely right. It is not that far of a leap.
But anyways, let me finish our story. I was on the dance floor and just kind of doing my thing or feeling very uncomfortable because there's so many bros. And I look over in the corner and there's just this girl. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, just getting down on some dude. And you're like, oh. And he's bored.
He's just bored.
He was like, just kind of staring up, drinking his beer.
Nice.
Girl with his face and with her face and his, yeah.
Hmm.
And his men parts.
Nice. All right.
So that was my Friday night.
That was your Friday night.
Felt good to go out and get drunk.
Yeah. Mine was just pretty quiet, which is nice for me. And then Saturday picked up a little bit. I mean, it just where I was in J9s. So I was sitting next to an artist named, I believe it was Simon Ray.
Roy. Was that his name?
W-R-A-Y, I think.
I have no idea.
And then Tone Rodriguez. And Tone is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does Futurama for the Bongo Comics, right?
Right.
Sweet stuff. Really nice guy. Really cool. Introduced himself. Fantastic body of work. So we just kind of, you know, we just set up. It was a little bit better, but there wasn't any people coming there that far. I think the way that they set up, there was one entrance, so you guys got funneled with everybody coming through, you know, taking the straight shot. Last year they had like, it seemed like it was like set up in the middle, so like people would come in and then spread either left or right. This time they just made it come in from the right side and then work their way to the left. And by the time, you know, people were just tired, I think.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was really like crickets chirping.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's weird because like, you know, they had these other like quadruple doors on the other side, but like no one, they weren't letting anyone in. I mean, we as artists could sneak in there if we wanted to.
Or if you had a VIP pass.
Yeah, right.
And that was the other thing too. In the morning, like the VIP access gave you like 30 minutes or an hour before the halls opened.
Right.
So you could walk around.
I guess I didn't even get there. I got there a half hour after the doors opened. So.
That's right. You were late. That's right.
I was out till 4. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You didn't show up till later.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Saturday night was pretty cool.
What did we do Saturday night?
We went to Mezcal.
Oh,
had
that's
Mexican
right.
Food with Zach Howard and
that's right.
Mike Wright.
But we showed up late, so we kind of sat at the kiddies' table.
Oh, yeah.
I told you we were coming. Come on.
Trying to get another table. I mean, I'm sure you guys want to hear about our dinner plans. Saturday during the day was really cool for me. Going back to the convention, we had, we just had some cool people stop by the show or by the table. I had some, you know, we had a lot of people that came to the show last year that wanted our second issue of Midspace.
Nice.
Like, hey, we got the first one last year. Want to get the second one this year. Yeah. And he's like, we're really excited to see you guys. So that was really cool.
Nice.
I think the highlight of that day, well, depending on who you talk to at the table, Nick left after 5 minutes of this. There was a young girl. Her name was Kelly. And she kind of took over the table. she came into the table. She was like 8.
Was Saturday? Okay.
Pretty sure it was Saturday. Yeah, it had to have been Saturday because Sunday I was...
Man, it's all a blur, isn't it?
It really is all a blur. Yeah. That's the thing. If you work at a convention, I mean, like, and you're busy, God, it's just like...
Yeah, I had little kids coming up to me at my table wanting sketches.
Yeah.
And I mean, usually I charge for sketches.
Right. I don't charge kids for anything.
But, of course, I don't charge kids for anything because you want to. You want to...
Let them have fun and
inspire them.
Right. And I think I really feel like...
But of course, as soon as I'm doing sketches for these kids, everybody wants to buy something. So I have to kind of put off... The parents... You know, are really cool.
Yes,
they're like, oh, you know, they're doing this. But this one kid that I had, you know, I did a really quick sketch for him. And, you know, like, I asked him what he wanted. It was like, he wanted a princess. Yeah. I thought that was cool, so I tried to draw a quick princess and kind of move on. And then he came back, I want another one. I was like, I'll get you another one, but let me finish this up for it. And he was just kind of like, I think he was losing his cheese for a little bit. Yeah. My mom just kind of like, let him go. But, you know, it's tough because I would like to spend more time. I love talking to people.
Yeah.
It's great, you know, to just kind of meet people and talk about what they like. But I think we got into this one discussion with this one person. But anyway, yeah. So, I mean, it's tough, right? You want to meet fans and talk and meet with people. But, you know, obviously we're there to make a sale, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. You
got to pay for the booth and parking.
Right. I'm never pushy, but it's always nice to, you know. And I sold some original pieces over the weekend, so that really helped, you know.
Oh, you sold your original pages?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. That was really nice, actually. So it's always nice to sell originals. So anyone who wants one,
that was actually a good question that Atone had brought up. Was the I guess a challenge because he had brought a lot of original work.
Yes.
And a lot of people weren't buying the original work, and a lot of people wanted prints. And same thing to the
Denver's a print city.
And the guy, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, people love to buy prints, and you know, I was trying to make exclusive prints for the con. You know,
yeah.
So, but you had luck selling your original artwork.
I did, and I did last year, too.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends, like, you know, the couple of things I see that have done really well that I've done as far as originals in Denver. Our town's into roller derby. Sometimes it's into wrestling. I made a really good friend last year just because I made a Macho Man piece that I just randomly threw in my portfolio.
Yep.
But, you know, it's one of those things. Like, sequential pages, not so much, but illustration work, definitely. Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is like an original piece of this, and I can also get the print. So some people have gone in for that. It depends on the year. Like, there's other places that, yeah, you know, like in Seattle, it was all about the characters. I mean, you could have anything with a character that's licensed and recognizable, and it would sell.
This is the first year that I actually did characters that were not my own. And it was funny because Patrick Hoover saw him, and he's like, oh, I usually don't. And I was like, dude, this is my first time, right? Just trying it out because, you know, yeah, I wanted to see if it would work. Yeah, so I drew some Marvel characters,
you made money.
Stylized kid characters. Actually, you know what? I didn't sell as many of those.
Really?
So for this one, I did a very like simplified kind of almost like a toy type of illustration of the Thing, Wolverine, Iron Man, current and original Iron Man. So I did those four just to test it out. And I sold mostly the current Iron Man and Wolverine.
There you go.
But
Iron Man's big, man.
I sold the majority of my work was my original artwork.
Yeah.
Or my original illustration prints, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I really like the guys. If you came to the show, right at the very front were the guys from Steam Crow, Danny and his family. It's a family-run business, which I think is really, really cool. They're out of Phoenix. They were like the first thing you saw when you came in, and you know he's made a really big name for stuff. Like, you see these guys who have these wall of prints, and they're just like, it's like
it's all licensed characters.
It's all licensed characters, and he does some licensed, but it's like more like obscure movie references. Like his exclusive print for Denver Comic Con was Tesla Cola, it's Tesla Coils, you know.
Right.
But I brought a Metropolis print from him because I'm a big fan of the movies, Metropolis. I was like, oh, I'd love to have one of these.
Right.
And he's like, he's very much been like, you know, I go my own way. I do my own thing. And I've, you know, it's brought me success and that's where I'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an odd, it's a weird place to be in because it's like, yeah, I'd like to do that. But also I like money at the same time. What seems to be most popular in my vein, in my work, has been the girls from space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just even the guys like them. You know, they're you know they pick up on them. They're like, man, this is pretty cool. It's not your typical like cheesy ass like skimpy skin tight pervy crap that you see as a pinup usually.
Like I do. Okay.
Yeah. Or say like someone you know, like Dean Eagle is great at his work, but it's very skimpy, very like. And it kind of, you know, it alienates the females. And there's such a huge growing fan base of females. It's like, man, it's like, like how are you going to sell them Prince of Slave Leia? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been trying to focus on. Although I did do a major blood print for this this show, and that went pretty well. Once the print shop decided not to screw everything up. So yeah, that was really nice. But like I said, I think it's a fine line. Because some shows, people just want the recognizable stuff. Some shows, they want, like... Denver kind of has this bohemian, like... Like, we like the underground original artists. Like, we figured out here, if we said our stuff was self-published, we started selling Midspace, like 10 to 1.
Hmm.
Like, once we put self-published in that pitch line, that one-line pitch, man, it was a guaranteed sale.
Nice.
As opposed to just like, oh, it's a combination of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how stuff, different stuff works in different cities, yeah. Especially if you're independent.
Yeah, I really respect the independent comic scene, and there's a lot of cool stuff. But, I mean, getting back to what you're saying, I mean, like, when I started, trying to think which con I started at, I'm thinking it was... Because I usually do Comic Fest and NDK, right. Non-Desk Con, the anime convention. Those are the two big ones I do.
You've done before that.
I can't remember, but I'm trying to think. So, maybe it was NDK, or maybe it was Comic Fest. Anyway, one of the two. I started doing, female illustrations.
Yeah.
Not pinups, per se. Right, yeah. But, you know, they're just kind of like samurai girls with swords and stuff like that.
Yours was never, you know, too tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I kind of crossed over a little bit. There's a little bit like pinups. Right. You know, we did that whole pin-up book with Squidward, cheesecake book.
Yeah, we've all done cheesecake.
Right. No, it was the actual book of
cheesecake.
Pin-ups and cheesecake recipes.
Right.
And so we did that.
Which took me forever to, like, get in my head. Right. John Peters, I think it was John Peters, like, no, where's your cheesecake? I was like, I sent you my cheesecake.
Right. Dude, that sucked. It really was, because I was the one that was trying to coordinate all that, and people were sending me their illustrations, but I didn't get any recipes.
Yeah, that's probably one of those idiots. Yeah.
So that took a while, but I mean, at this con, it was a little tricky because I think a lot of people liked seeing the original illustration work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would come by because I had little kids and they see my little, you know, my cutesy Marvel illustrations.
Sure.
And then some people would come by because they would see, you know, a girl holding a gun, you know, and that sort of really attracted a lot of people to it. But I think for this next con, I'm going to separate it into two books, one that's specifically geared towards pinups and cheesecake. Because it's kind of weird as people are flipping through my portfolio, you know, some of them would stare long at the cheesecake one, and someone just like flip it really quickly, like it was awkward. But at NDK, at the anime convention, I mean, that's the one that sells the most is the gunslinger girl.
Oh, okay.
You know, the girl that's in a scantily clad woman with guns.
Yeah, I can't imagine why that.
I know.
It's really weird.
And she's very anime looking, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I've got a couple of, I think two or three that look like that. And you know, people either really really like it or people are just really. But it's nothing explicit. I think it's very artistic.
Right.
But
I had one that was very explicit. I had put together a new portfolio. I didn't put any prices on anything. Until someone asked, it was a kind of an experiment. Which worked out pretty well, actually. So I talked to Zach Howard and took your advice as well, and we I put together a slamming portfolio. I did a mashup for a friend a while ago of Honey Boo Boo and Krang. After someone like someone on Funny or Die had compared the two, so I was like, oh, I should actually draw it. So I sold that piece. That went for a pretty good chunk of change. And I sold a couple of smaller illustrations as well. So it just kind of depends on what you have out there, what grabs people. Everyone's very unique at... excuse me. Sorry, Denver Comic Con.
It's yawning already. Jeez.
I'm still...
Bored of the podcast, boring the listeners.
That, I remember coming... I came home Sunday night and I was all excited and I read comics. And then like at 11, it felt like someone hit me in the back with a sack of doorknobs.
Yeah.
I was out. I mean, I had to get up for breakfast the next morning.
But getting back to your portfolio, did you get a chance to kind of show it to some of the other professionals?
I for the life of me, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I went over to show it to Papercut.
Right. I remember you saying that.
And they're like, wow, we on Sunday. And like, well, we're only doing these at 1 o'clock. And I had a panel at 1 o'clock. So I was like, well, TS.
Yeah.
I was like, well, but I dropped my books by afterwards.
So who's Papercut? Just to kind of explain it to the listeners.
They're a children's book manufacturer, kind of in the vein of Scholastic. Mm-hmm. So they do Ninjago from Lego. They do Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Mm-hmm. And I've just been like, I don't know, over the last year or two, I've been wanting to do some more stuff for kids. And right. for actually just
and all then one ages. one of our buddies, Julian, right?
Yates. Yes.
Julian Yates. He
illustrates Ninjago.
Yeah.
They're giving away his prints for free if you bought a book. And I was like, they sold all out of all his books. So it was a good time.
I tried to get over to his area as well, but you know, it just was kind of an ebb and flow at the con. Sometimes we get a good run of people, and sometimes we didn't.
Right, and then I would get up to leave, just even go to the bathroom, and Nick would text me like, "Hey, there's people looking for you to buy art or to get a sketch." I did a lot of sketches, man. I did a lot of art commission work.
Sweet.
Yeah, that was my. That was pretty cool.
I did a couple of sketches, and people were asking, "Are these free?" I was like, "No."
Right, yeah, you gotta put a price list out.
Yeah, I had a price list right there, you know.
Yeah, you dingus.
Yeah, exactly.
What I saw in Seattle that I totally forgot about. God, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm such an asshole. Yawning here, but I'm still trying to get over this weekend. Like, Mike Yamada from DreamWorks, he's their head creative director at DreamWorks, head animator. What he was doing out, he made like 30, and they're just really simple little head sketches on like those little
illustration boards, trading card?
No, on little luggage tags.
Wow.
They're really cool, like those little
those,
I don't know what they call, cream colored ones. So he was just giving those out as the little freebies.
Yeah.
Oh. He gave me one. I was like, oh, very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, and they were just little simple headshots in red pencil. So I mean, there's little things you can do to give out to people for free stuff that will keep them coming back. You always put your information on the back there.
Right, kind of right.
Like, I went through, like, 1,000 business cards, it felt like.
Yeah.
Also got approached for some weird offers. As far as artistically.
Which, okay, so let's compare notes. What offers did you get approached to do?
So the first day, I think it was Friday, there's a gentleman that came up to me, he's in a suit, and he had a really nice high-end professional camera. Sunglasses, yeah, inside the convention. Yeah, sunglasses inside. But he was like, hey, he was looking through my body of work, and he really liked it. you know, he was just like, this is great. He bought a couple of our books. And he was just like, how comfortable are you? Like, do you do work for hire? Like, of course I do work for hire. That's mostly how I make my living now. Then he said, how comfortable are you going from G-rated to XXX?
I got approached by the same guy. I think he went through everybody asking.
Yeah, and so, So I was like, okay, fuck.
Sure. He approached me on the last day. I think that's how long it took him to get from you all the way to me.
So he asked for a price for what I do, and then I was like, I told him. And then it's a book. Did he give you the pitch?
Yes, he did. Why don't you go ahead and share? Yeah,
so this seems like an amazing thing. He wants to do an adult themed, like, children's book style book about a race of, wait for it, the dramatic pause must be in here, a race of blow up dolls.
Exactly. Blow up dolls have come to life.
And are living among us.
I think he says
it's like Chobits for perverts.
That's a good. Yeah, Chobits. That is a good analogy. It's like
Chobits for perverts.
But, you know, there's a lot of those type of stories where an inanimate robotic made object comes to life and starts falling in love with its master, right? It's like the reverse Pinocchio, or maybe that's what Pinocchio was supposed to be.
Yeah, anyway. Reverse Pinocchio.
Yikes. So what did he tell you? Was he going to contact you? Or
yeah, like, he took my card and all my information. And then he came back the next day with the exclusive, like, Denver Comic-Con print that Scorpio Steele had drawn.
Right.
Did he have you sign that?
No, he didn't.
Okay. So he had me sign it. He had me... he took a picture of me signing it. Yeah. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. I mean, it's kind of flattering at the same time. But
that's cool.
It would have been mega cool if I hadn't heard that pitch first.
Yeah.
It's not as weird as, like, so there is a kid that's, we've run into this kid before, who wears a nice suit and tie.
Oh, little African-American kid.
Yeah, or, I mean, you know, nice kid, but he's
Black just American? Like, I'm not sure what the right term is right now, sorry.
I think Turk said they're back. They're not being African-Americans anymore. I don't know. That's my buddy Watts.
Okay. And Dion. And
no offense to anybody who's listening out there who are not racist. Yeah. I'm sorry I mess up names all the time.
Yeah, I prefer Hawaiian, just to let people know.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Chinese or
how come I can't say Chinese? I'm British?
You could if you want to. But you're not from
Scottish. UK. Sure I am.
You're an American. I'm an American too, but people just want to categorize it. I think when I met Sean Gordon Murphy, he was like, did anybody tell you look Mexican? I was like, Sean, God. He's like, no offense. I was like, sure, why not? I guess. I don't know. I have Mexicans confusing me for Mexican.
Mayo story from Paper
Moon? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, in Savannah. We had these weird, we had these weird white cracker people living downstairs from us.
In Georgia.
And they were all, I'm sure they thought I was Mexican or at least some type of Hispanic person, which is funny. But I'll get to that later. So, yeah, they're sitting on their porch and they're just kind of, I was walking with one of my black friends and, you know, they just kind of started looking at me like, happy Cinco de Mayo. And my buddy looks at me and he's like, I think you're Mexican. I get it all the time. But the funny thing, too, is like when we're talking to Tone, you know, Tone Rodriguez,
yeah,
we were saying, like, you know, if you went to Hawaii, you could pass for a local.
Yeah.
And he's all like, yeah, you know, and he told us a funny story. He was like, you know, it's so funny because he grew up in California, in Northern California, and he was just, or Northern Hollywood. Anyway, he was telling me that, you know, when they go to certain places, he was like, you know, people always ask him, it's like, oh, are you Hawaiian or are you Samoan?
Sure.
Are you Filipino or something like that? And like, people are so excited, right? You know, because we get excited if you're this exotic, you know, Polynesian race. And as soon as he's like, no, I'm Mexican, you could feel their tongue go, oh. You know, just like, you're one of those.
Like a deflated
blow. Deflated, exactly. But, you know, he's like, man. And I know there's a lot of, like, people that I've met here in Colorado that are, like, Japanese that are from Hawaii.
Sure.
And they just say, yeah, I'm Hawaiian, just because they don't want to, you know, represent their race. They just get tired of it. People have... you know, preconceived whaling, right? People have preconceived notions of things like that. I think people just want to pigeonhole, you know, like, oh, if you're Chinese, then you're this. If you're Japanese, then you're this. But it really doesn't make a difference because people just want to associate something.
Yeah, they want, they like,
I don't say me so horny.
It's a cultural bento box.
Yeah. All of them. People, like, I've had a couple of my friends, like, we have this buddy that we're working on a film or have worked on some film projects with.
Yeah.
And I heard him talk to Caduce, like, behind, you know, as we're walking, he's like, so let me just get this straight. Is Hawaiian its own thing?
What do you mean is Hawaiian its own
thing? I know. Well, here's the thing. Even at my last job, the HR rep was getting into an argument with the facilities managers about me because there was another lady there, and her family has lived in Hawaii since 1954, before it became a state. And I'm like, big deal. You know what I mean? Right, it's like, yeah, like yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah, I was, my whole family, my whole lineage was,
sure.
Anyway. So they were getting to a discussion about Hawaiian, right? And because she's white, she's of German descent, but she calls herself Hawaiian, or they call her Hawaiian because... You know, people think, oh, it's the state. We're going to call them Hawaiian. And so my buddy who's a facility manager is getting into an argument with our HR rep saying, no, you can't call her. She can't consider herself Hawaiian. You know, G's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what's the difference? And it's like, G's not white, okay? And he's like, well, she can be considered Hawaiian. It's like, no, do you not even read, like, the race form that's on there? Like, it says right there, like, Native Hawaiian or Pacific, you know, it's there, right?
Yeah.
She cannot check that box.
Huh. Yeah.
She's Caucasian. She's white.
Right, yeah.
But the funny thing, though...
But she wants to be, right?
People just say that. People want to claim... Always. Holly's always stealing our shit. Every time. You know? White man always stealing our stuff.
You need to break down what a Howley is for
a Howley is our term for white. It just means foreigner. Yeah. It's like Gaijin. Same thing means foreigner to the Japanese.
But there's always a negative connotation to that, usually.
Not really. I mean, it depends. Like, if you say... You
like,
know,
how do you
you're
graduate
dirty Howley.
From Howley to brother?
Howley to brother?
Like Madi's like, hey, brother Zach.
Yeah,
like, what's
exactly.
Up, brother Madi.
If you're cool. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, sure. People know they're Howley. If they're Howley. But if you're beating somebody up and calling them a dirty Howley, I guess I could be considered that. Or if you spit on somebody calling them Howley. It's a hate crime.
Right. Okay. Y'all got mad about that. Because we stepped on flowers or something. But y'all have ghost warriors to take care of us. I mean, come on now.
We have ghost warriors.
We ain't had none of that shit.
Well, I think
they're all in England
thing too
doing
is like,
nothing.
Like getting into cultures. You know, people want to have a culture. And there's nothing wrong with being Mexican. There's nothing wrong with being white. I mean, just respect the cultures and other people's cultures. That's all.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who are Caucasian don't do enough, like, insight into their own families. Or they're not, like, they're not... in an advantageous position to be able to go to Bavaria or Czechoslovakia.
But that's the thing. I mean, people create their own history here, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, yeah, you know, like, you know,
New Yorkers, you know.
Well, be proud of the fact that, you know, you raped and pillaged Indians and stole their land. That's
what
I'm
kidding. I can't help it if they were, like, susceptible to, like, dirty blankets.
Exactly.
Like those aliens from that show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that wasn't my people.
Yeah.
I don't see that as my... No. My lineage. So, like, my grandparents didn't come over here until the
20s. But it's tough, too, because, you know, when I speak to some, or when I listen to some people from Ireland or Scotland, and, you know, some of them do get offended by, like, you know, certain, you know, Americans, like, saying that they're Irish and all this other kind of stuff. Or, you know, good case in point was, like, the Italians getting all upset at, like, the Jersey Shore cast trying to be Italian, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
you know?
I have some Italian friends that do get very mad at that. They're like, hey, you know, you're stereotyping us into like these mafia shitheads.
Right.
Or you Jersey bros, you know?
But again, right? That's the
but
thing.
But the same thing with you know, frat boy Americans. Like, oh, I've got my Irish poster up here. We talk about Manchester United, which is in England. But they all think it's the same shit because it's all over there.
Right.
Or what? Isn't it Manchester United that everyone in Denver, if they have a soccer sticker on there, it's Manchester United.
Exactly.
There's no Arsenal.
Yeah.
Or the third team that's out there. I don't pay attention to that crap.
Yeah, I don't really follow it too much either.
No, me neither. Well, there is fighting in it, but not enough.
No, not enough. No. It's not like, you know, the only real team that I know for rugby is the New Zealand All Blacks. And this was because
New Zealand does that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
the All Blacks. Love it. Yeah. It's a good team.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, we're talking about races and things like that.
We were talking about a convention.
We were talking about convention.
But it's interesting, you know, it's like, yeah, there it's, you know, talking
but you were saying
buddies,
there was a certain prominent artist that you
and
felt.
I won't go into that because there was a friend of mine that approached this artist, and we both did.
Well-known, renowned artist.
Very well-known. And he was known for thinking crazy things. Not a friend of ours, obviously. but it's interesting because...
We'll leave it at that, yeah.
Because he went up to him, and he's like... He's just looking at his stuff, and this certain artist, rest or black, was sitting there thinking, like... My friend is African-American. I'm a white dude. We both had approached at different times. He's talking to him at this point in time, and he says, so you want to be, you know, you want to be the big shot artist. You want to get to the top of the ladder. And he's like, well, I wasn't really thinking about it. But he's like, yeah, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm doing making comics. What the hell? Why not? I definitely do it. And he's like, it'll never happen. You'll never get there.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And I kind of wonder, like, oh, you know, was that like motivation for him? But at the same time, I went up to the same certain artist, and I was just buying a print from him as a, you know, for someone else and who has done the favor for me as a thank you. And I just like I respect this artist. I just when I have someone like Alex Toth to study from, I just don't care.
Yeah,
I do respect him for his work, and I was like, I really do like it. But for me, he was like, so you're a young artist. I was like. I am. I have a table. Come see it. He's like, yeah, I'm not walking that far.
Yeah.
We both kind of laughed about it. And but he's like, but you know what you need, young artist? You, as a young artist, you need one of my sketchbooks. Yeah. And I mean, this isn't like, you know.
How much was the sketchbooks, by the way?
I didn't go look.
Oh.
Come on, I'm not walking that far.
Well, I thought he had it right there.
Oh, he did. But I already been through the line. I'm done. I got my print. I just gonna sign. I just want to go poop now.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and it's like he's talking. He's like, yeah, you know, he's like, this is stuff you need to glean insight from to become a successful storyteller. And sequentially, there's a lot of little stuff, little mannerisms that don't get put into the big books that, you know, you can see good foundation work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's trying to give me, like, this. He's like, this is where you'll find good guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's weird because, like, I'm a white dude. He's giving me advice. My buddy's black. He's telling him he'll never make it. So I was like, is this racist? Yeah. I was like, or did he just catch him in a bad mood that weekend? I don't know.
He could have. Yeah, he could have. I mean, you never know. But it's kind of. It is. I mean, it's like the comic book industry is like any industry, like any other big industry. You'll find people that are, that, you know, that hate Italians or hate Irish people, are very sexist, you know.
Yeah,
and it does seem like a big boys club because, you know, it's always great to see, you know, female artists and female creators like Fiona Staples.
Yeah.
You know.
My friend Robin Dempsey put out two good books that I bought at the convention. And I actually, I did a little art jam. Like I was telling you earlier, with this little artist girl that had came up and basically took over the table. But nice. She pulled in like 10 people, and we sold a bunch of mid space.
Nice.
Like here.
Exploited the children.
Yeah,
Zach.
She's like, hey, can I get a sketch from you? I was like, well, I'll just draw you something. What do you mean to draw you? Instead of a sketch, I was like, because she was really interested in all my materials.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, how do you use a brush? You use a brush to make these lines? Like every other question under the sun. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, I was like, just watch me draw. And so I showed her. I was like, I even use my pencil as a brush nowadays. Yeah. So we kind of went through that. Drew the dragon, and then she's like, can I draw the eyes? So I was like, go right ahead.
Yeah,
it'll give you a chance to try out the brush. So she tried out the brush. She's like, this is really hard. But it was kind of one of those things. Just like, man, it's like that's going to be an experience. Hopefully, they would remember.
She'll remember for the rest of her life. Yeah. I mean, I remember because I walked up to the table. She came running over.
You met her.
Yeah. So and she was all excited and show me which. You know, what she did. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's always going to be a good experience.
And so that's, I was like, I made a promise to myself. I was like, I will never, like, treat a kid like an asswipe. Because you see it plenty of times.
It's you do. I mean, and little kids don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes they don't have boundaries, right?
Yeah,
and sometimes it's good to be patient unless they're, you know, throwing a tantrum. But yeah, you try to be as, you know, as inspiring as you can. Because I remember when I met, you know, my idols as a kid, and just the fact that they would set time aside and either draw with you or show you how things are done. I mean, it's a huge impact on children.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, when I was 17, you know, I was like Mark Waid.
Oh wow, Mark Waid.
You know, Dragon Con was my first convention. Right. He took some time just to. I mean, I was 17, but that was like one of my first cons. And you know, I was just like asking him like 1,000 questions. I was like, God, I must have been obnoxious. But like, you know, I talked to him at Emerald Comic Con, Emerald City this year. And I was like,
oh, hey, did you write him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was like, man, so you took the route. You did it. He was pretty impressed. He's
sweet.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't remember that. But that was, you know, God, what, you know, 12,
well, 13
sure, years ago.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's like you said, there's certain people that you remember for all the wrong reasons. Unfortunately, those are the ones that stick out, like that little kid dressed up in the suit asking about weird questions.
Oh man, it was just like, if you want to talk to an artist about doing a book that you want to do, I was like, hey, you know, it's just give them the shortest spiel you can.
Yeah, I mean, respect their time, but you know, obviously, if they're not busy, or you know, obviously, if they're trying to make sales or something like that, yeah, respect them when somebody else comes along. But getting back to Mr. Blow Up Doll Guy, so by the, you know,
oh gosh,
by the time
20 minutes handed,
after he, well, you know, obviously, well, it took him 2 days to get to me, right?
Oh, gosh.
So when he came up to me, he started looking through my book, and you know, that's, you know, I put out my portfolio and my binders out there so people can look through it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm always like, yeah, feel free, pick it up, you know, just flip through the pages. And so he had a camera, And then my buddy Caduce was sitting next to me. He was asked, I asked him, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a cinematographer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, Caduce joined. He's like, oh, I'm a cinematographer too. So they started talking about it. But he started looking through my work and he said, well, oh, this is great. I mean, and he looked through my pinup works and he's like,
yeah.
Like, same, oh, I see you have the same type of eye that I do for the female figure. I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. And so, he said, like, I would love for you to do, if you're interested, I'd love for you to work and do some movie posters for me.
Oh, well,
and great. I said, yeah, you know, I'd definitely love to. You know, that's something, yeah, it's more of the graphic design thing that I do. So I said, sure, that's not a big deal. And then he's like, well, how do you feel about doing a book? And I was like, well, you know, for me, I don't feel confident in my sequential skills just yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working on my own. But he started going into this whole spiel about doing like a book. And would you like to do, you know, would I be open to doing a book that goes from G-rated to X? So I was just like, okay. And I've heard about this guy, I think, from several different artists. Because I think he approached a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
And everybody's warning me, just watch out for the guy, blow up doll guy. just like, all right. So I was kind of like, ah. So it went from like a really...
I really think he was one of the first people he talked to.
Yeah.
I think he came to my table first.
Well, I'm sure. You were in the first row.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And like I said, by the time he came out to me on Sunday, I think his legend and lore had spread through the whole convention. You know, because people were just kind of mentioning it. It was like, oh, watch out for this guy. Watch out for that guy. It spread like wildfire. So, I mean, he has my business card. He has my information. He said he's going to contact me within a week. He said, give me a week and I'll contact you. Just give me a week. And I'm like, all right. I mean, yeah, I hear it all the time. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I didn't think too much of it.
Me neither.
But then, you know, I had a couple of other people. You know, this is the problem. Like, if you're a woman and you dress at... you dress up at Comic Con and you talk to somebody and you have stuff all over your chest, I'm just going to end up looking there. So
yeah, it, like, it sucks. You don't want to, but it's there.
It's all focused there. So like these Zions models came up and I was trying to look at them.
Oh, I was right there with them. Yeah.
So I was like, what's going on? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I was like, oh. So we started talking because I had a buddy that worked with Zions before, but she ended up talking to me about doing some work.
Helping
some work for her, certain things. There's also a person from one of the roller derby girls. There's a couple of different leagues, and I didn't.
Yes, there are.
So she was like, "Oh, you should do some work for them and things like that." So that's the one thing I forgot to do. I forgot to drop off a sketchbook with the girls because, yeah, I mean, I do illustrations for some of the independent wrestling leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the roller derby girls would be good.
I've done derby stuff before. I kind of like it. I just don't know what roller derby is. Like, you could explain it to me 100 times. I still like, what? Like, I still don't get like the point system of scoring. Like, Nick has famously said, it's like Quidditch. You can explain it to me 1,000,000 times. I'm still not going to get it.
Yeah.
You fly around and you catch a ball.
Yeah.
I think roller derby would be a lot more entertaining if there were bats involved. But
there would be bats.
But, you know, you can't complain when there's...
It's just basically like NASCAR racing with people being obstacles.
That's
what all.
It's like, yeah.
You know, the people being the obstacles.
Right. Right? I'm going to just get people mad if I keep talking right now. But here's the thing.
Like, because roller derby used to be... a
dude's sport, doesn't it? Wasn't it like what they were advertising instead of ECW on TNN?
No, that was Roller Jam.
And how was this different?
That was a co-ed team.
Okay, so that's the difference?
Yeah, because it's usually
mostly women.
Right.
Like, there aren't, like, dude roller derby teams out there now.
Okay, wait, I got to remember. I think Roller Jam had
co-ed. I thought Roller Jam was just, like, all dudes.
No.
There were, like, female teams sprinkled in there.
No.
Sparkled.
I can't remember. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's the only thing that they advertised during ECW on the channels TNT, the current Spike Network. Yeah.
We're going back to 2000, this reference.
No.
99?
Yeah.
98?
Late 90s. 97.
Oi.
Yeah,
oy. Yeah.
I don't like it.
It was horrible.
But, see, what I like about roller derby is when they have, like, the angled rink, you know, or the you know, kind of like the NASCAR kind of rink, rather, because I think most of them now is just flat because they can't build it. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm kind of like, is this stuff fixed or is this stuff
not that? You know? I mean, when I see the the bruises on my friend Jamie's legs. I'm like, oh,
well, same thing. Like when I go to pro wrestling, I mean, you know, those guys are bumping for real.
Yeah, exactly.
The outcome's predetermined. That's what I was wondering, because it seemed like back in the day, it looked like
I would ask, but I don't want to get hip checked. Have you ever?
Well, no, because when I used to watch some of those roller derbies where they had the elevated rinks, you know, you would see some of these hits, and the girls would fly over the over the barricade and stuff like that.
Yeah, this isn't. I don't think this is fixed because, like.
No, I think today, because I used to go to a couple of them here in Colorado, and it's like, I mean, it's a sport, you know. You have the girl that's trying to make laps around the ring, and everybody's, you know, then there's people that are trying to stop her from doing that.
I just,
You know, because I think back in the day, there would be, like, all these, like, kind of gimmicky things where, like, you know, the blockers, you know, were like, skating backwards trying to stop this girl. And, you know, they would try to do, like, a double clothesline, and she just duck under. I'm like, come on, you know? But I don't see that nowadays.
It was,
like,
nowadays. An 80s movie,
right? Well, no, it was, like, back in the – yeah, you're right. It was, like, probably 80s, late 80s when they had, like, some type of glow for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. But this time it was, like, roller derby, I think. Yeah. Everybody had a character, you know.
And now they do. Like, they have, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, ha-ha names. Like, yeah, I think one of my friends is called Kitten Puncher. my friend Jamie is called Crucial Taunt, which is a Wayne's World reference.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, God, that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Tia Carrera's band from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, some of those are pretty damn funny. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's funny.
Oh. And then I think the last person that I remember talking to about, oh no, there's a couple more people that had approached me for work.
Yeah.
But the last one was there's this person that I used to work with, and she ended up moving on or graduating from the company during the merger.
Future endeavored.
Yep. And. She was known within our group for working at Shotgun Willie's.
Mm-hmm. So, if you don't know, Shotgun Willie's is a gentleman's establishment.
Gentleman's club. And it's funny because my former admin, she was the one that told me, it's like, you will never guess who I saw at Shotgun Willie's. And I was like, who? And she told me the person, and I was like, we cannot tell my buddy.
So your admin was a female.
Yeah.
She was going to Shotgun Willie's.
Yeah, with her husband and friends and family.
She's so it's like a family dinner night at Shotgun
Willie's. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, they like the steaks or something like that.
Oh, sure.
She likes her drink at party.
I love the macaroni and cheese there. It's, it's breaded.
So she came back and reported to me that this person that works within the company, I guess, is there. And I said, we cannot tell.
Illuminati, straight
buddy.
Up.
Yeah, we cannot tell my buddy JK, because my buddy JK...
down there in a second.
Well, yeah, this crush on her. Just total crush.
Man.
And we kept this secret for years until she got Future Endeavored, right? And in a conversation it came up and we told him, it's like, well, here's the story.
Did you see like the dust cloud of in his shape after he found out?
Well, no, he was so not mad, but you could tell he was really distraught over the whole thing.
But mortified?
Just no, he was like, why the did you guys not tell me this? He was, like, so upset that we kept this secret from him for so long.
He could have had 5 years of going there and then going home and winking off.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's married. He's got kids and everything, too. But, you know, it would have been... I'm sure there would have been some way he would have tried to figure out to go down there.
Oh, the guys are going out.
Yep. But anyway, she came to the table, too. And we were talking. And she wants me to do some type of illustration of her. So... And, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, yeah. You know, if I knew her better, it would be okay, but maybe it's just kind of like, I don't know, awkward.
You don't work with her, why not? Who cares? Come on.
It all depends. I mean, if it's classy.
I'm such a mercenary when I say that, but as an artist, I'm like, fuck, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a certain set of ideals and high end expectations.
But I mean, the point was, I guess the point that I was trying to make is like, it's like the same thing, right? It's, well, maybe it's not the same with blow up doll guy. I mean, is that something you'd want to do? You want to have on your resume? Because a lot of my friends was like, "See, I don't want to have that on my resume." You know what I mean? And, you know, in some cases, like, yeah, I mean, I don't mind. And it's like, maybe I'm making a big deal out of it, but it has nothing to do with the fact that she was an exotic dancer or anything like that. But, you know, she specifically said she wants something very, you know, she wants to do something very sexy and all this other kind of stuff. I was like,
it's a little cheesecake.
Because, yeah, because she wants to send it to her friends for Christmas. She thought it'd be funny. And I was like, all right, okay.
Hey, guys. Here's my newest picture.
Yeah.
Check out these. Check this out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I was like, you know, I don't mind. I mean, yeah, you see some of my stuff. It's pin-up-y, cheesecake-y, and that's what kind of attracted to him. Yeah. So, that's the other thing, right? You can attract a different crowd, I guess.
You can. If you draw women well, it's a...
That's how people base that. Like, what's his name? I follow him on DeviantPage, DeviantArt, Armando Huerta, the dark god of pin-ups.
Oh, boy. Yeah, oh, that dude. Yeah, that dude. I know. I met one of his models at San Diego Comic-Con once.
Right on.
Sweet girl. Yeah. Really nice girl.
Or it's the same thing like when, you know, suicide girls and stuff approach you
to do stuff. Yeah. I do have like 3 or 4 there.
Followers,
fans. Actually, there's one that I really, really enjoy her company. But that's beyond this.
Her company?
her company. Because that's going to happen. No, she's a history nerd, so we get along pretty well.
Yeah. Well, my buddy got approached to do photo shoots for one for a girl that was, I would have said that, but thanks for dropping. Excuse me. He got approached to do one, and I just said,
ain't nobody gonna be able to spell that name. X498.
Yeah.
Lego. I don't know how to spell this guy's name.
But yeah, he got approached to do some photos, and I thought, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, it'd be good, because I think their stuff is tasteful. And there's a market for it. And yeah, we end up meeting people that have done stuff for Suicide Girls all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we did Aurora Rise, we worked with Suicide Girls then.
Yeah,
they're actually a very benevolent organization. Yeah, they just photograph naked girls, but they're always tasteful.
Yeah, they're tasteful.
You know. And they do their Twitter feed is very.
Well, I guess that's the thing, right? With nudity, people get, you know, there's a certain aspect of nudity that people get really uncomfortable around. But you know, obviously, you have to know your audience too. If you're going to be G-rated, you have to go that way. But I mean, how many people do we know that, you know, do G-rated or general audience stuff that kind of also do the go into whatever we want to call the dark side and such.
The dark god.
But then again, well. That's right. It's kind of like certain artists that, you know, what's worse, and that is nudity going to be worse than super violence? Because that's the thing that we always discuss, right? It's like you see a lot of violence.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Game of Thrones has kind of blended a lot of violence and nudity and things there as well.
People look at my work and they're like, I get asked by a lot of parents, like, is this kid friendly? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, it's not.
Yeah.
I tell them straight up. But, you know,
your book is not that bad.
I don't think so. Well, did you read the second one?
Yeah. You're right. It's not kid-friendly, but the thing about it is, like, Matt V's book is not kid-friendly.
No, it's like the opposite. I was like, you know...
But he did end up putting a book that was kid-friendly because he got the same thing.
Yeah.
Because his illustration style, you know, it's not super realistic. You know, it's, you know, you can call it cartoony, kids, right? Yeah. It does attract children to it. So, you know, I can see
you
going through
that. You know, when I was 6, what was I reading? The Dark Knight Returns.
That's the thing, right? And that's the same thing.
It's not going to screw. But, like, parents are so crazy these days. I feel, and so, like, especially in, like your Highlands Ranch parents. Like, right. You can't get my kid orange slices.
Like, again, when you grow up in, like, a place like Hawaii, you know, people running around half naked. You know, I'm seeing people wearing, you know, stuff they shouldn't be wearing. You know, and so that's why, for me... Sometimes, you know, when people cover
I'd go out
up,
there if you didn't have to pay so much for everything.
Yeah. Or the threat of being beaten up by some people.
You know? I'm cool with that ghost army. I'll be fine. Yeah. Hey, guys.
But, I mean, you know, I had that discussion with some of my friends from, like, Jamaica and Devon. I think you remember Devon.
Yeah. Devon.
Yeah. So we were talking about that, and I was just saying, like, look, don't, I mean, just seeing all that stuff all the time, you know, stuff hanging out here and there, you know, a nicely dressed woman. He's like, that's beautiful. Exactly. Because it's something that you're exposed to all the time.
Right. And I mean, you know, I grew up in Texas and Georgia, and there's a lot of that down there, too.
Is there?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how much more attractive a woman, and like, this is a friend of ours, couple of buddies of mine came, and they had a female friend with them, and she was dressed up as like a female version of David Tennant.
Mm.
And she had like a...
Okay, this is getting weird. No, like me some cross dresses.
No, but she was just dressed very nicely. She had like a nice button up shirt, a nice skirt. You know, she had a little like a thigh length, knee length.
Yeah,
and she looked really good. I was like, I find that more attractive than
I'm sure some women feel the same way too, because you know, guys in the buff, unless they're super ripped, not so good.
No, there was how many fat Hulks did you see at the show?
Well, that's the thing I want to kind of talk about, too, is cosplaying. Did you see
the Man She-Hulk?
No, I did not. You see, that's the thing. Here's the good and bad about our area, because for the first couple of days, you know, it was really the suck hole of the con, because it was just empty.
Yeah.
Because we were the last area, right? But the good thing about it is that's kind of where they snuck all the VIPs through.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we got to see the one dude from the Gil kind of walk through the Indian dude.
Yeah. Patel?
Yeah. Wow. Sandeep? I think his name is Sandeep. Something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got to see Felicia. George Takei twice.
See, I never got to see him.
George Takei is awesome. Got to see Staranko in his white,
right by Staranko.
White suit. Yeah. I was like, geez, that guy looked like a super spy. It was great.
He lives that Los Angeles lifestyle. He looks plastic, though. Like,
he does
look like an action figure.
He does look like an action figure. He's tiny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Perez.
Oh, cool. I talked to George Perez for a little bit before the show started.
Yeah.
Him and his wife were walking around.
Yep. So, George Perez.
Nice guy.
I guess my buddies were really big into Felicia Day, but I didn't.
I met her. I met her in Seattle. Gave her a couple books. I wanted to follow up with her, but...
Okay. Yeah, so, I only heard the Seattle... So, at Seattle, you ran into her in the elevators, right?
Like, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Enough times where my friend Chris was about to have an aneurysm because he was never with us. And he was like... You're in there with her every time. And at first, you know, she was very standoffish.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm in an elevator with
nerd boys. Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, she's an attractive young woman.
Yeah.
I mean, and plus she's a redhead.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
She's kind of got a weird nose. I think she's attractive.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
She's funny.
Yeah.
We've talked to every once in a while on Twitter. So, you know.
Did your voice crack when you spoke to her?
Hello. No. Oh, okay, man.
It's okay. Yeah.
I've seen more attractive women in my life.
There you go. Okay, so I guess that's my point. I mean, like, you know, it's just whatever.
But she, you know, after, like, I was like, so finally one day I said, hey, Felicia, she said, like, just like her immediate response, no photos.
Yep.
I was like, I don't want to take your picture. And I said it like, kind of like, fuck you. You know? Exactly. Like, I don't want your damn picture.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to give you our book. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like. She had a female assistant with it, and she was like almost like the bodyguard trying to get there before the bullet hits. You know, I was like, just stop it. I know. Yeah. I'm a big fat white guy. What do you want? But I was like, plus I have a beard. It's a very friendly one.
Yeah.
But you know, it was just one of those dumb things where it's like, there's so much ego. You're just kinda like, really? You were like one of us like do nothing nerds like 4 years ago. Like,
she's been like, you know, in films and
right, and TV
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She's tried that route.
And she does good. Like I said, I enjoy her. I'm a fan of hers.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like...
Just, it's like Will Wheaton, you know? I mean...
I guess that's like Will Wheaton.
Well, no. Well, I mean, in the fact that she wanted to do her own stuff.
Right.
Right.
Well, he was on Star Trek.
Right.
He was going to be like at a convention no matter what.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's Wesley Crusher. Get off the bridge.
Yeah. Well, now he's like a big deal.
He's got
his own... blog and stuff.
He did write a really nice blog for when we were trying to get rid of what was that stupid government bill that we all got rid of to like clamp down on the internet, SOPA.
Oh, that's right.
Now, I don't know. I just, you know, I have a love hate thing with celebrity. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me about celebrities is, again, growing up in Hawaii, we have a lot of them coming over there, and it's not a big deal to
that's
me.
How...
It wasn't a big deal. I mean, yeah, I saw them on TV, but I understood. It's like, these people came here on a vacation.
Right.
You know?
You don't want to fuck
and them. You don't bother them, you know, and they don't bother you. You know,
no.
You can say hi, you know, and
right.
You know, just leave them alone. It's people, they want their space. They come over there to relax.
Yeah.
And when I used to work for the resorts, I mean, yeah, I would see them all the time. And, you know, sometimes they need me, sometimes they wouldn't. I think the only person I really asked for an autograph was from David Duchovny because my sister was such a big X-Files fan at the time.
Sure.
That's about it.
Yeah, I don't see the... I don't know. I would like to...
But they're just regular people, too, you know? They just have more exposure. And it's just like, you know, I'll see a lot of them. I just don't bother them. And then you get those people like, hey, you're blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, ah, oh, great, you know? So.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, better things to do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, getting the cosplayers now. So yeah, there was a lot of cosplay. That's what that's the thing, right?
So what was your favorite?
I don't know. I really didn't have one this year. I mean, there were some impressive ones. I mean, there was like the first night, Friday, I saw a trio of Iron People. Okay. So one guy was dressed up as War Machine, and he had like a stereo blaster coming out. There was like some golden Iron Girl chick, and there was another Iron Man. So the three of them were kind of walking around in a group. That was pretty cool, but I didn't get to see a lot until after the show.
I saw a lot of cosplayers that I saw in Seattle.
Wow.
So there was like the tan and blue Boba Fett.
Yeah.
There was the girl that was the female Gambit.
Yeah.
With the red eyes. One of our buddies.
Oh, the female Gambit. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw her. One of our buddies cosplayed as one of the guys from Daft Punk.
Okay.
He had his own helmet.
I saw some Daft Punk. I saw some Deadmau5 cosplayers as well. I think that's kind of easy. It seemed like there was a lot of people dressed
like Superman and Green Lantern.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I saw more
lanterns.
Well, there's a lot of Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
A lot of Doctor Who's. Because I guess one of the doctors was there signing.
Yes, but nobody dressed up as that doctor.
Yep. Right?
Like, guys? Really?
Guys? I think I saw one person dressed. There was actually a promenade of doctors, four of them, that was walking around. Actually, my one favorite cosplayer was this guy that dressed up as the heckler.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
And then I mentioned that, you know, I'm a big fan of Keith Giffen's Ambush book.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm working on that costume. I'm like, son of a bitch.
There was a lot of cross-dressing.
We also have a lot of transvestites and transgendered people in Colorado.
There was,
there was a lot of cross-dressing.
There was the three Lilus from The Fifth Element. One of them was a guy.
Well, that was a family, from what I understand.
Was it?
Yeah. So I think it was like the dad, the mom, and the daughter.
I think the day before he was a Psylocke.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. My buddy Mitch last year was Booster Gold.
Nice.
This year was the White Queen.
Wow. Yeah, I missed all those.
I only saw him in pictures. I'm like, Mitch, stop by your table. What's up, buddy?
Yeah.
He's like,
I went to the Denver Comic Con Facebook page and just kind of looked at some of the photos there. And there wasn't too bad. I thought there was one. So there's this girl, Tara, who goes
Tara
by.
Strong?
No, Red Fangirl on Facebook. And I met her at the first Comic Con. I believe she was Comic Fest. She was.
Is it raining?
Yeah, it is raining. It's raining pretty hard. We've got some storms coming here, some flooding, you know. But it's coming down pretty hard out there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. This is interesting to all you people listening.
Yeah. Anyway, she was Silk Spectre, I think, when I first saw her.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw her.
At Comic Fest. Yeah. And then at this one, she was a Dark Phoenix, but she came up to our table.
Oh, okay, I saw that, yeah.
And she didn't recognize me at all, but even though I've met her like 15 times, I think. So I was like, I was going to introduce her to Caduce because, you know, Caduce would love to get some good photographs of her.
Sure.
We ended up getting photographs, but, I mean, she was mobbed at the time, so I just didn't bother her.
Sure, yeah.
But it was funny because at the last NDK, you know, we started talking because I was with Stan, but... I know she looked at me a couple of times, I'm sure, but she meets a lot of people. But I also get confused with Stan Yan and Lonnie Allen, because I guess we all look alike for some reason. I don't know.
But Stan talks like this.
I know, Stan's got a very deep voice. And Lonnie Allen, I mean, I think he's such an indistinguishable character. I don't know how
I'm
confused for him. We're just all Asian looking, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so.
I guess. I got to see Lonnie Allen at the con, too. The cool thing that I like about Lonnie is that he is a kind of almost like a Denver indie comic icon, because it seems like every indie comic out there at least has some image of Lonnie running through there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Actually, yeah, because Lonnie has his fair share of crazy stuff that goes on with him in his life.
That's a guy that I definitely, you know, we definitely need to bring on a podcast one day.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, what is, what's going on with you? And it could just probably go on for 14 hours.
Yeah.
I got to see my pal, Ted Intorsio. I hope that's how he pronounced his last name. But he has Tinto Press, and he did a little mini comic of his experience at the Small Press Expo, Ape.
Mm, yeah.
But he had all the first day he had all the artists in his immediate area do a little self-portrait. And then that night he printed up a little square, a little booklet of it. And so I'm in there, Nick's in there, you know, Jim Mahfood's in there. Oh, just a little corner, you know, Noah's in there, and Noah Van Sciver. Sam Spina.
Shriver, okay. Shriver.
He's like, God damn it, you guys. Who else? A couple of those guys around there. Chris Ware did one for him.
Nice.
So he printed that up as a little sticker. I didn't get to meet Chris Ware. That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Well, you were sitting next to Jim Mahfood.
We were.
And I'm a huge fan of Jim Mahfood.
Yeah, me too.
I love his work.
Yeah, so. I tried not to be like...
Yeah, like... Hey. I know. He was really cool.
Yeah,
I got to give him one of my art books. He gave me his sketchbook.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, you know, I brought one of his books over for him to sign. So
we were going to go out Sunday night, but then we were like, oh, we're going to go to Casa Bonita if you're free after that. He's like, yeah, I think I'm just going to go chill.
Yeah. I think he's
a big fan of the Ziganja. Huh? The ganja. So he's in Colorado. Oh,
of course.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. Our whole town smells like a skunk now.
Yeah, exactly.
For voting on that.
Well, I told him about Casa Bonita, and, you know, the food is horrible. I'm sorry. The food is just...
Joe was all about it. He's like, all right, it's just like Taco Bell.
Yeah, it was like Taco Bell, like, but the problem. Yeah, but you know, it's $14.99.
Exactly.
So that's the thing.
It's a $14 Taco Bell.
And I mean, for me, when I go to a restaurant, I'm looking at the food and the value of the food.
Yeah.
But you know, Casa Bonita is a totally different vein.
Well,
so yeah,
if
the
you've
last
never
night,
been to Casa Bonita, it is real. It was on a South Park episode.
It was on
down
South...
to the minute detail.
Yep. They captured it
they
as
captured
much as
it
they could.
Perfectly. And I remember, like, I don't think that was before I moved back here.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this shit real? Like, does this happen in Denver? There's no way.
It's kind of tough because, like, so when you go to... So Casa Bonita, if you don't know, it's this Mexican restaurant. I guess it's still considered downtown Denver. I would consider it more
Lakewood.
Like Lakewood.
It's like the TARDIS. It's small on the outside, and when you go inside, there's just...
Wow. That is a great analogy.
It's huge.
It is. When you look at it from
massive.
The outside,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like much. But when you get in there... Holy crap.
How far? I've never gone to the back of it to see like how they house this thing, but it's like a warehouse.
Yeah, it is definitely like a giant warehouse.
And
so,
when you walk inside, it's like going to Florida. It's so steamy.
It is. And that's a hard part. Like, so when you go to Casa Bonita, you walk in, you basically pay for your meal first,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of take this like buffet trail down, and they kind of hand you your food. Unless you order something specific, then they have to actually make it for you. Because I think
you can't get out, you can't get in there without paying for something.
It's true. I mean, it's like the most, well, other than the kids menu.
Yeah.
You know, the adults meal. I think the cheapest thing on there is like $12.99.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, you know, it's basically like Taco Bell food with a lot of more cheese sauce on it. And then you kind of walk into this area, and there's like a running like cliff,
yeah,
a waterfall and cliff.
There's enclave.
There's
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a waterfall with a cliff.
You have cliff divers, which is cool.
But as Steven said that night, it was a travesty because there was a female cliff diver, and not as a sexist thing, but usually the cliff divers are these skinny little boys in these like. Super tight, awkward speedos.
Oh.
And it's like, what is going on? Because the first time I went was with him.
Yeah.
And he was all about it.
Yeah,
him
so you went
and,
with your friend
Michael,
Steven.
Right.
And then we went.
And Michael Allred.
Yeah.
And
that's why I passed, because it was like, I was just so hungry and I just wanted to eat something good.
Well, we get something after. Like before or after.
Yeah, next time I'm getting something before, because I was tempted.
That's why we were late.
Well, son of a bitch. So $14.99 gets you an all-you-can-eat plate of tacos, enchiladas,
right?
Something smothered
something
in cheese,
is exactly
rice
the
and
word
beans,
for it.
And it's all you can eat. And yeah. I was so tempted to get a second plate, but I was afraid I might have gotten sick. The sopapillas are awesome, though.
Sopapillas were fantastic.
But then again, it's hard to. But you know, going with Steve, Yeah, it was really cool. You know, he made it really. I mean, it's he made it really fun.
Yeah, we had the skee ball tournament. Well, and I didn't know Will and Steve, the other Steve. There are multiple Steves, but Will Murakami from Mile High Comics. Him and Steve had been going since they were like six.
See, I thought you knew Murakami.
I did.
Oh, okay. I do. Okay, because I don't know if you guys recognize each other afterwards.
It took us. I stopped at the Mile High Comics table earlier, and we were like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" He's like, "I thought I recognized you."
Okay.
And there was a Steve too was at Mile High Comics as well, and he came back. He's like, "Dude."
Oh, okay.
So yeah, after a while, kind of. But Will Murakami is always kind of like he's distant.
Oh, okay.
He's a good dude, but once we kind of got him into that nostalgia of that place. I mean, he was just like.
Oh, they were selling me on it. They totally sell. And that's, I guess that's the thing, because for me, you know, my thing is always focusing about the food, you know.
It's such an experience that I don't mind paying for the crappy food.
No. I think with Steve, his enthusiasm totally won me over to Casa Bonita. And I think that's what I needed, is you need to make it a very magical place.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
because it is. It really was. I mean, I didn't feel it because I didn't even get it. Because I think, you know, for me it was just like, oh, the food is shitty. The food is shitty. You know what I mean? And it's like, fuck, I don't want to pay all this money for food and blah 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 blah. But you know, having a group of people, and I think that's what it is. If you're gonna go by yourself or you're gonna go with like one or two, not so good. But when you go with a group of people, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's you know, going through fun. Black Bart's cave and you know.
There's
watching them get their portraits done, playing the skee ball tournament. I mean, you know, that was actually really cool.
Yeah, the skee ball tournament was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I won, by the way.
Yep, you did. Yeah. You won. And you got a noise-making stick. Yeah.
Yay.
Okay. Yay. No, it was a really good time.
It was a great way to end the con.
It was a great way to end the con. No, Steven was really cool. Meeting his friends was pretty cool.
You're having dinner with Joe Kelly and John Snyder and Steve Siegel.
That was Joe Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I did not know that was Joe. That was Joe Kelly, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. If you don't know who Joe Kelly is, Google him. Yeah, Jesus.
Look up Man of Action Studios.
Wow. Interesting.
There you go.
Oh. Everybody seemed really cool. I mean,
exactly.
I really wanted to go to Casa Bonita because I had to drag Caduce there for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm glad he went. I mean, he wouldn't mind going again. He's just not going to order that all-you-can-eat plate ever again.
No. But I mean, like, I ordered my plate. It was $12.95. It was like some, like, two burrito rice and a taco. Yeah. And that taco tasted like it had been there for, like, a day.
Yeah.
But the burritos weren't too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, the guy that organized this whole thing, I was watching him because, you know, he ate, I think, two bites of his food and that was it. And, of course, I ate my food, like, because I was starving. I was hungry.
I ate that bad boy like
I
my
ate it,
I
was like,
meal.
There was no tomorrow. And he looked at me, I think, Murakami's like, well, you finish your food. And then Steve's like, he's Hawaiian, he'll eat anything. I was like, yeah, you damn straight I will. I mean, shit, if I'm going to pay $14.99, I'm going to eat all of it. Because I was even tempted to get a second plate. Because I was like,
food. So did I think John did too.
Yeah, Joe did because, like you said, we were both just starving.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing, because he's like, the way you guys sold this place, I thought it was going to be horrible, but it's okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't like... torture chamber or anything.
No,
but the funny thing about a con is that, like, especially a busy one like Denver Comic Con has gotten to. I mean, it's going to be like, you know, the destination con big time in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Seeing it already.
No, it's already, I mean, just from last year when we saw it. Because last year I had a table, but I had to give it up because I had to go back home.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I made it for Sunday and I just hung out with you guys watching your table and stuff. I mean, it was big there.
Last year.
It was busy.
Yeah.
This year was crazy, but I still think it was one of the most organized cons I've been to.
And I mean,
for me at least.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, they brought us water. You know, I was like,
well, I heard a lot of people complaining and bitching about certain things, about waiting in lines and stuff like that. But guess what?
That's a convention, though.
Yeah,
go to San Diego.
Exactly.
Please go to San. Like, that seemed really good. Or I was reading some of the Facebook comments. I just wanted to punch people in the head. It's like, I'm not going next year. This was really disorganized. They should have professionals running. It's like, it's all volunteer.
And that's the thing people don't realize. People were asking about that.
Like, yeah, they were bitching that it was all volunteer run, not by professional security. I was like, hey, guess what? They're not going to do as good of a job.
Yep. Either. I still think with the volunteers that they had, they did a great job.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, those guys, I hope they threw those guys a huge party. And knowing Charlie and Frank, they probably did.
Yeah. No, I mean, it benefits Comic Book in the Classroom.
Which is amazing charity.
You know?
Teaching kids how to read through comic books, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know, you know, I donated 2 16x20 pieces for their auction. I do it again. I think it's a great con, and it's local. You know, and it brings in a lot of...
Sleeping in your own bed, man.
Yeah, that's... exactly. Sleeping in your own bed. The only crappy part is I got to figure out parking downtown. Because I could swear, like, parking's usually $7, but for some reason, everything went up to 12. I'm like,
yeah,
sons of bitches.
They're like, are we going to get them?
Well, the other thing, too, was there was a People's Fair happening that. There was, like, Run, the Sidewalk Art Festival. And so I think that's why they moved the convention to next year through Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, because that's where it was last year.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then Phoenix Comic Con is the weekend beforehand, again, like it was this year as well.
Right.
I'd like to do that next year. Right. Just depends if I have some money.
I know. To me, the best time, too, I mean, other than, you know, going to Casa Bonita with Steve and Joe and you guys and bringing Caduce there for the first time was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday night going out with you and Caduce.
That was a good time. That was good. That was fun. Yeah, I went to Rock Comic Con first.
You got some scalp tickets.
I bought a ticket from a scalper because I'm that good guy.
Because it was invite only, right?
No, you could buy tickets. Like, the whole freaking place, they had just sold out.
And got
there
it.
People that are like, yeah, I have a ticket if you want. I'm like, go pay $10.
Because I was hanging out with Lee Oakes first.
Lee Oakes,
yeah. So, Lee Oakes and I go way back. We go back to Scad, and it was good. It was good catching up with him. And then, you know, we were just going to run around and figure out what was going on. I mean, I was invited to go to another function, but I just wanted to see what everybody was going to do.
Yeah.
I didn't really commit to anything.
I try not to commit.
That's the thing, right?
Because unless I know it's going to be something crazy. Like, hell yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing, right?
Like in Emerald City, every night, we just went to the hotel bar. We hung out with Bill Willingham, who was our table mate next to us, his assistant Stephanie. We, you know, a couple of the people we knew some people in Seattle as well. We had an interesting time there. But it's just like, you know, I don't know. I want to plan things.
Yeah.
I'm a typical dude like that.
Exactly.
I just want to go have a good time.
Yep.
Not have to worry about what's going to be here the next morning. And if, you know, and going on the seat of my pants has gotten me into some really awesome situations. A couple awkward ones, but really awesome ones. Awesome.
Yeah, no. So we had some drinks with Lee, and then he was going to go meet somebody at the con, and I just said, oh, we'll go figure something out. So we kind of walked around, and that's when we got the text from you guys that you guys were going to be at Mezcal. So I said, sure, we'll shoot down over there.
Yeah, Mezcal is great, man.
So, yeah, by the time we got there, tables were already full. We sat outside and met James. Can't remember his last name.
Uncle Corm.
Cool guy. Great conversations. Great guy. We're talking, so that was pretty awesome. And then
I felt really bad. I was like, ugh. God, that sucks.
Then we met up with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, we met with you afterwards because it seemed like everybody was just going to go home or do Rock Con or whatever like that. And so I texted Lee and I just said, hey, you know, do you want to go to this deal? And he was like, it's invite only. And I said, like, oh, I think you can get tickets from scalpers. And he's like, bastard. So I didn't hear from him afterwards. So I was like, all right. So you, myself, and Caduce, I mean, we're trying to find a place to go drink. And we went to 1UP and it was just...
We went outside 1UP, and then we decided there's too much.
It's just tough. I mean, I'm getting to the point where, you know, like I said, I just want to be able to sit and have a nice conversation with somebody instead of hearing the oomch, oomch. And it just seemed like every club on Lodo was like that. It was just crazy
kids.
That's
why we don't go to Lodo.
Getting drunk.
Yeah, it's stuff to do when you're 20s and you still shop at Abercrombie & Fitch. Or if you're in your 40s, you still shop there.
Yeah. But we
like
got
to,
some
if you like ripped shirts with your biceps.
No, but it's good because you know you and I got some nice dollar hot dogs. Those are great.
Oh, yeah. Mine was wrapped in bacon.
$2 hot dogs. Yeah, exactly. $2 hot dog. I like it how they ask like, "How many do you want?" And I was like, "God, I was almost tempted."
Give
me $5.
Give me $5 for that shit.
Yeah, exactly. But we ended up going to Southern Hospitality?
Or Southern Comfort? Somewhere.
Southern Hospitality. Yeah. I think what it was. Wait, the bartender was great.
She was
her name
attractive.
Rebecca, I think. She was really cool. She was cute, sure.
Yeah, and then we had a pedicab driver that was...
Bartender slash pedicab driver. Was totally sloshed.
He was, full of alcohol, so who knows what he did.
Oh, no, it was great.
He was like one of those deadbeat Floridians.
It was awesome.
Yeah, or like, he was like he belonged in Venice Beach.
It was crazy because I don't know how it got in the conversation, but I think you and him just started to have this exchange.
Oh, I was poking the bear.
Here's the thing, because I was telling Caduce the night before.
He said some shit about having cardio, and I was like, I'm done. I'm going to let this sarcasm fly.
So I said, I warned Caduce, I said, Caduce, so when we go over with Zach, I'm just going to let you know, okay? There's been certain times where Zach will say shit, all right? And he'll write checks with his mouth that I'm going to have to, basically.
I have never once gotten us into a fight.
Yeah, I guess.
I've never once gotten us into a fight.
Okay.
Yeah. You have never been punched because of me.
Yeah. No, you have never been punched because of you, and that's the thing.
That's exactly true.
I'm trying to think if we got into any close calls. Like in Savannah, at like some of those wrestling parties or anything? No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. So I warned Caduce. I said, just, he's like, Zach, really? And then after that night, he was like, I see what you're saying about Zach.
Me and my brother both have that, my brother has, it's not ADHD, it's just something doesn't fire right in his brain. So if he's not, this is before he was medicated, but he's so quiet when you first meet him.
Oh, God.
And for a while, he was like, and then, like, all of a sudden.
When he gets comfortable around you, yeah.
Yeah, he will talk you into a corner.
I remember there's times when your brother was just going on and on and on. And I don't even remember if he could, like, remember what he was talking about, but I think he was just talking and talking and talking. And you're like, Dustin, shut up.
Well, we'd have this conversation and we'd end it. And 10 minutes later, he'd bring it back up. He'd been steaming on, like, his thought about it.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I have this streak in me where I just, everyone should know they're a fucking idiot some days, and I'm that happy to say it. I don't know what it is.
It makes it lively, but there's always, see, my problem is, like, when I drink, I get really, either very introspective.
Yeah, that's beer drunk for me.
Or I get very angry.
Yeah.
And
I don't get angry. I'm a pretty happy
person. Or not angry. I just get rebellious. I just get a little bit to the edge.
Yeah.
And like, there's certain times that, yeah, I just want to fight somebody at that time.
I just, like whiskey drunk, I'm just like, I want to go dance my brains out. Ladies. Or I want to light stuff on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm not a narcissist. No. I've never lit anything like seriously
on fire. I usually get to that point where it's like, if I get to a certain level of drunkenness, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to throw down with somebody.
You turn into King Kong.
Yeah, I don't know. But so I thought we were going to get to the point with that guy, with Mr. Bartender, like, pedicab driver. Especially when he started to say, like, we didn't notice. So there was a time where the bartender, so Zach and I were in a conversation. Caduce was paying attention to bartender, pedicab guy. And I don't know what ended up happening, but the bartender decided to shake her boobs.
She did. I saw it out of the corner of my eye.
And we both saw it out of the corner of our eye. But, of course, we're just kind of like, okay, we're just going to leave it and just kind of continue.
We were being gentlemen,
Yes. It's great that she shook her moneymaker, we're just kind of looking, did that just happen? And it just happened. So the pedicab guy were calling us out for not staring. You missed it, so fuck you. And I was like, as soon as he pointed at me and said, I was like, oh my God. I was getting aggro. Oh my God. You don't talk to me that way. You don't know who I am. So anyway.
Well, I started making fun of him when he was talking to that girl.
Point when he was like, I don't know where it come from, but he used the term like Sully or Scullied or something.
Scully. Yeah. You said these guys are Sully. Yeah. Or sulky or something.
Sulky or something like
I
that.
I heard Scully.
We heard Scully too, and so did Caduce. And he threw out something like, oh, what are you saying? Oh, do you remember what you said?
No, it was like, we were
You're like, what are you saying? That I don't believe in this? It was so perfect.
It was something like, God, what was it? It was something skeptics.
Yeah, oh,
it was something about skepticism.
He's like, oh, are you saying that our skepticism?
What, it's bad that I have a healthy skepticism?
No, dude.
I'm pretty sure it was a healthy skepticism.
You said skepticism, but you basically painted the portrait of Dana Scully from X-Files.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, that I'm da-da-da-da-da skeptic when the truth is out? You just, I mean, I don't know. When you get when you get to your zone, you are just so sharp like a knife. It was just, it was so perfect. And I was dying laughing. And this guy was getting pissed because I was finding it funny.
I could see that.
And the Caduce was like figuring out what the hell's going on. I was like, what are you talking about? And then he got the X-Files reference, but that guy had no idea what we were talking about. Yeah. And I was just laughing. And usually that's what pisses people off. When you start laughing at them, they start getting angry.
Because they're like, when you're drunk, they're like five. Like, they can't tell if you're laughing at them or laughing with them.
Right. And I was just dying, dude. I was like almost had like, you know, whiskey shooting out of my nose experience. It was so funny.
That is one thing that's very true about me. Is like when I get drunk or when I get high.
Yeah.
I can focus in really well. It's just disgusting. Like playing, my friends won't play Mario Kart with me if I ever get higher.
Yeah,
you're in the zone. Just shit on all of their.
I know a lot of guys that are like that when they start.
Weird. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was, but he, from the moment he sat down and started talking to that girl at the bar who just wanted to drink her beer, I was like,
"It's all
this motherfucker's going down." I've had too much Lodo around me.
We just wanted to sit down, have a nice drink, have a nice conversation, eat some $5 wings. Because
I knew he was going to turn around and talk to us. Like,
well, then Caduce started going on, like, what are you guys talking about? Like, X-Files? And yeah. he got the reference, but, you know, he just thought the guy said Scully. He's like, no, the guy had no idea what we were talking about. Because we were walking, when we were after the bar, we left, and we were walking, and I was explaining the whole situation. He's like, I thought the guy made the reference to X-Files. I was like, wow, this guy's pretty genius. I go, no, he mispronounced the word. Zach called him out on it and basically made the X-Files reference. You picked it up. I picked it up. That guy had no idea what you're talking about.
Well, because he was all like shitting on you. Can people. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I can't sit in the club and listen to Ace of Base and drink, Jaeger bombs.
Did he know that we were from Comic-Con?
He had said something shitty about the show. So I'm like, fuck you. How about that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I have no tolerance for shitheads when I'm out. I think I've been hanging out with Zach Howard a lot. Oh. I got a little bit of that bled into me. I think it's already always been there. It's got more vocal about it. There was one time we almost got into a fight with a dude because he couldn't say Jim Morrison. Yeah, let's just leave that story dead. Because it's a dumb fucking story. I'm going to have to fight someone because he keeps saying John Morrison. And that's a fucking pro wrestler, and I am not having it. Anyways.
Jim Morrison, John Morrison. Okay. But, I mean, with Zach Howard, yeah. I mean, there's only one time where there was we got into a situation, but I guess the bartender took care of it. But Zach was ready Zach was ready to throw in as well. I don't know. It's just... sometimes it's just nice to have a nice beer and enjoy yourself. And I think there's a couple of times where we're just enjoying ourselves too much and people get annoyed with it. That's fine. If people want to do something about it, I'm more than happy to oblige.
Off the cliff, they want. You can't have a good time around me. I want to sit here and watch my.
No, but it's good, Zach. You really have a quick wit, and that's what makes things so exciting and fun. So we're going to wrap up this podcast, though. Any other things that you've got going on now that Comic-Con is over? And, we basically had a day to kind of sleep it off, which was nice.
Yeah, I did sleep it off. I didn't do a damn thing on Monday.
Neither did I.
But today, I went out shopping, which is interesting for all you guys to know. But while I was out shopping, I got a phone call, which was from Kid Robot, the toy manufacturer. And they want me to be up there in their Boulder location to do some live art up there and then start working with them to customize some of their little the monies. And start maybe hopefully that'll lead to working with them. So I'm excited for
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got to finish up a couple of books, and we're going to be running into the next issue of Midspace here hopefully soon. And yeah, that's just kind of
next con you got coming up.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
Albuquerque. I wanted to do Portland, maybe. But at the same time, I was like, I kind of want to do Austin, but I've never heard anything good about the Wizard World shows. So
really? Okay.
It's just for different people.
Yeah.
Who knows? I just would like to go back to Texas when it's not hot.
So is there
I just heard they weren't very well organized.
So there are some groups of people that run cons and things like that.
There are.
Like a mafioso group, maybe a dark...
Well, Wizards always trying to compete with the independently run cons, which is kind of shitty. They did that... They tried to do that one to take all that attention away from in Portland at the same weekend that Emerald City was going on.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, it's 3 hours away. I was like, you know, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
You know, the Wizard's always kind of douchebags like that from whatever. But, yeah, you know, like I said, I don't know, so I can't really speak on it that much. I was like, hey, if they want to have me out for a show, I'll definitely come.
Not after this podcast. Wah, wah,
wah. Yeah, like, as I talk shit, oh, I'll definitely come out. I just, you know, every time I've gone to a show, I've met the organizers, I've had a great time.
Nice. Yeah, no. Yeah. No, cons have been pretty good, but we'll see what happens. But I thought this last con was great.
Magnificent.
What are they saying? Third largest opening for a con?
Second. Yeah.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
Like, this is going to be, you know, Sean Murphy said it right when last year when he did the first one, he's like, this is going to become a destination con. And it is, because we have people coming out from Oregon, Montana.
Yeah, but there's nothing, like, Utah. You know, like we discussed, there's really nothing between, like, New York and San Diego as far as big cons are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, you got a shit ton of stuff in the Midwest, but nobody really.
Yeah, Chicago and things like that.
C2E2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think I want to go to this next year.
Nice.
And then Elliot Serrano from Red Eye, from their comics section, is a reviewer and nerd blogger and podcaster. Yeah. So he's going to have, I'm doing some PDFs of our work, and we're going to do a little interview.
Sweet.
I'm doing an interview for the Denver Post here soon with Laura Keeney. She runs the Shiny Objects nerd blog on Denver Post.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that stuff. She's cool. She's really cool, actually.
Yeah. Right on. Well, that has been our Comic Con and experience.
Yay.
Next week we'll talk about some other non-relevant, non-sequiturs, but till then.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check out Zach Kinsella on his website, zachkinsella.com.
Yep.
See some of my stuff on GKAIHUI, that's GKAIHUI.com. What's that?
You can follow us both on Twitter.
Follow us both on Twitter, here at
Zach Kinsella.
Zach Kinsella, and mine is just my last name, KAIHUE. Yep. Make it easy for everybody. I want to thank our sponsor, Blue Drink Studios, for helping us get all this stuff set up.
Thanks.
And we will see you all next week. Until then,
may the force be with you.
Right on. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.